just one portion of our text from this one. Exodus 33 and verse 17. The latter part of that verse, God said, "You have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." We live in a dangerous time, and much of the preaching that we hear now is on the experiences that we find ourselves in. Always with this caveat, always with this promise that God has not left us, has not forsaken us. But two times in the Bible, God said that the spirit of the Antichrist would run out the saints of the Most High. The devil tried to wear you out. Paul prayed that God would make him an able minister of the New Testament. I believe every man named God's people needs some encouraging words, needs something to edify, something to build up. Isn't that right? We're trying to preach to you today. I learned a long time ago, God's not trying to get rid of me. Hello? God's not trying to get rid of you. God's trying to get us to lay a hold of this precious promise. And such an hour as this, would you lift your hands and ask God Almighty if He would anoint me tonight? Father, I do pray for that touch. I do pray for that anointing. In Thy name, help me to preach. Anoint me to preach. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. That glory before you do. So many things that we covered this morning. Thank you, Sister Pansy, for remembering those things among many others. But the promises of God are yea and amen. God is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the son of a man that He should repent. But He said, whatever I say, I will do it. Everyone else may fail you, but He never fails. Our trouble today is we don't know enough of the Word of God. We don't have it in our hearts. We do not read it. More than anything, we do not study it. A careful study of the Word of God will give you an attitude that I am more than an overcomer because He loves me. I'm not an orphan. God has not left us on the world's doorstep for us to do our best in the midst of all that's going on. We're in this world, but we're not a part of it. This is not home. They do not set how I live. The world has nothing to do with how I dress, where I go. I am as far into that nonsense as you can get. I have a life of God, a life of joy, a life of peace. But I will tell you, the devil goes about seeking whom he may rob, steal, kill, and destroy. He's got one plan for your life. He cannot do anything else. He's a liar. He is a deceiver. He is a supplanter. But he's also defeated. And that's my message to you today. When you begin to think, God said, before you were born, I knew you. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Think you are hiding something from God, though, you know. Not getting away with anything. God knows us. And there are things about me that I'm glad he knows and I'm glad you don't know. I'm glad that there are some things that when God puts it under the blood, he doesn't let the devil take the cover off of that. It's under the blood. No matter what you've been, no matter what you've done, and we never condone sin. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how corrupt you were before you come to God, he knew you. He said he's angry with the sinner every day. He was angry with you, but he knew you. I did not choose God, God chose me. He chose me in spite of that knowledge that he had of me. It mattered to me. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is nothing I've done you've done to get to this place in God where God says, I call you by name. You're my child. I know those that are mine. If we would think about this, we would be able to understand why the people of God get so excited with Christ right now. You know, we are expected to change. Some people wonder, where do you get your joy? Where do you get your energy? Where do you get your peace? My God, if you knew what I once was, but what I am now because of the love of God, I can tell you, it not only gives you comfort to know that he's worked a lot, it gives you a joy. It is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's a peace the world can't give. It can't take it away. That's enough to get you excited. Some people only get excited when the music is exciting. If you've got to have music to get you excited, you need to sit down and be quiet. Over the cemetery in Fort Worth, he's been gone to be with God 50 years probably. That great church where he was singing, looking close to him, everything in that church, hundreds, maybe several thousand, jumped up and started dancing. He could have just said, shut up, sit down, sit down, stop the music. Stop the music, sit down, stop this. And I was done because the man went, told me. But they started like my friends. And just kept right on dancing. He said, those of you that still dancing, you keep right on dancing, you're in the Holy Ghost, the rest of you are in the flesh. No flesh will ever glory in his life. It will not prosper anything. God hates the garment spotted by the flesh. But you have a right to shout. You have a right to rejoice. You have a right to have a life. My life is given to you. It's wonderful. Now, some of you don't know this. You think when you go to church, you're going to have a place as long as I'm serving you. You think when you go to church, you got to sit there on that pew and wait for the song leader to wake you up. Get it all worked up. You said when you come in with praise. Somebody said, but I don't have anything to praise about it. Excuse me. Excuse me. What has God done for us? I still haven't figured it out, man. Because to me, it's brand new. But as of Wednesday, I was thinking, well, 3 or 4 ladies in the church when I had babies. What is it about to get this blood? And my wife looked it up, said the blood comes entirely from the dead. Well, Jesus had an earthly body, but he didn't have an earthly dead. So where did his come from? And so, in my mind, there's no question about it. God picked this afternoon from Chad. I believe he said it's Chad. He said, if you go read Dr. DeHaan's book on page 37, he has all the answers. when you're born of God, you are a new creature. You are a new creation. We are not subject to the things of this life that is opposed to God. We're free. Those whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Walk in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. We preach enough around here about the times and the seasons. But today, I wanted you to hear from me that God has us and everything is all right. When Philip Cameron wrote that song, "My Philistine," when the Lord is on my side, why should I fear? In His love, I'm safely found. He is to me my fortress and my rock. Tell me, why should I fear? Fear has torn me. God said, I did not give you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of love, power, love, and of a sound mind. There's as many people taking tranquilizers to go to church that as in the world. They can't find peace. They can't find rest. So they go to the doctor. Now, know one thing about doctors. If you go see them, they will write you a prescription. And guess what you need to take? People take tranquilizers so they can sleep. God said, I get my blood free. People are admitting this when they do this, that they can't handle the situation. They can't handle the crisis. They can't handle the nation. They can't handle the world. They can't handle the experiences that they're going through in the world. Let me challenge you tonight to draw over closer to Him that He's able to keep you. He doesn't sleep at night. Amen. He doesn't sleep in the belly. He doesn't take naps. He said, I don't take turnings. I'm willing you. I'm able to sustain you. I'm able to keep you. It's good to know that we serve that kind of a God. Something else about God. You remember that song that we sing? He knew me. So He forgot all about it. Did it get wrong? He knew me. Yet He loved me. Ronnie Hinton wrote one of the great songs a long time when he wrote that one. He knew me, yet He loved me. Let me tell you, God is omniscient. God knows everything. You don't know what you're going to do in the next 5 minutes, let alone if you tell us it's coming in the next 10 minutes, if He tells you. You never do anything to slip upon God. But let me ask you, since you've been a Christian, have there ever been times when you've had to go to God and ask Him to forgive you? For what you've done, for what you've said, or whatever. Have you ever had to do that? Maybe a person provoked it. Maybe a job situation provoked it. I don't know what provoked it. But I must shock you. God knew you was going to do it before you did it. Not condoning anything ugly that we do. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. David said, God, you know my frame. I'm dust. I'm dust. David was a pretty bad man in all reality. He gets another man's wife pregnant. He skips to commit himself and whatever else. But God loved David. David would have never been a man of God if God didn't love him. And you would have never been a Christian if God didn't love you. You go explain him. What we do, if we do something reciprocal to somebody that does something good for us, what did you ever do for God? There's nothing you can do for God. Every bit of it is filthy rags. Every bit of it is the work of the flesh. It's carnal. What can you do for God? So strong. In His great love, that made us what we are. He knows that he loves. I don't hate anyone's sin more than I hate my own sin. But with everything in God being yea and amen, it says that everything that he does in me, yes, we live for his glory, it's for his will, but what he works in me is real. I'm not playing church. You're not playing church. This is not make believe. It is not supposed. I'm not hoping I'm saying it's real. It's real. This Pentecostal blessing. I know it's real. What God does, he does it once and he does it for all. We're not talking about you can't walk out. Everything in God is real. Every time one of these churches lights up that smoke machine, or every time they get those lights flashing, all they're trying to do is imitate what Moses can experience in the presence of God on the top of the mountain. I'm telling you, in these churches, it's not real. In children's terms, it's pitiful. Let's play it. Let's play like God is here in tonight and smoke. Let's play like God is here. This is my play life. This is real. And we're not going to pretend, but he will come in his time in the realities. I feel sorry for people that can't feel the realities. They can't feel God. We don't live by fear, we live by faith. But every man named God is that faithful man of the kingdom. And it's real. I said it's real. To go into God, if God knows us, and he does, it's real. I repeated that again because everything else is a delusion. It is a delusion. This world that people get so bent out of shape over. I mean, I'm a burden for the lost. I'm a burden for the world. And I'm not talking, I know God said, don't hurt the youth. I'm not getting into that stuff. But this world, as you know it, is going to pass away with a great noise. The elements are going to make with a great noise. God said, I'm going to make a new one. So why do I want to get all excited about this idea that's going to destroy us and not get excited about that new heaven and new earth that has the throne and God's on the throne? There's not a devil there. There's not an imp there. There's not an unbeliever there. There's no night there. Hallelujah. People get all worked up over this one. And you cannot explain about that world that's to come. That's a shame. I said, that's a shame. I don't know how you feel about a lot of things going on. I don't know how you felt about Mr. Obama, Mr. Clinton, Mr. Trump. I don't tell you. They may have political power. They have billions. So what? If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're impossible. You didn't bring anything into the world, you're not going to take any of it out. That's your own stuff. Not going to happen. Somebody wrote the song. This robe of flesh. I will drop in your eyes to seize the everlasting prize. Shout my passion through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet. You know that the soul is my guarantee, right? What's supposed to be brought over here this morning from Hungary, first time in the world. Even his own government trying to get him out of business. He gets $90 million for one of his march. He gets this, he gets that, he gets something else. What's he getting out of here? What's he getting out of here? We do not labor for those things that pass away. Right? we do not labor for that which is temporary. And what God has given us is not temporary. It is complete. It is eternal. You can't beat that. Get your eyes a little higher. Set your heart not on the things of this earth. Set your heart on the things that are to come. Let me go back to this. God sees all of you. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer. But I do want you to answer. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever told a lie? Your mother, one time, gave you the best definition for a lie I've ever had. Anything you do is funny to miss what you do. You say something, and you know it's going to mislead that person. That's a lie. Jesus said, in me, I'm the way and I'm the truth. But he said of the devil, he is a liar from the beginning. I've got myself in some situations, and I'm confessing mine. You have yours. Where I may have presented something in a way that was twisted. It wasn't straight, it was twisted. And I'm in a crooked place, and I'm trying to get out. And I want to challenge every one of us to do this one. No matter what is going to be the outcome, be honest. Tell the truth, no matter what it does, how much of that sits, and no matter what it is. In the new birth, there is no place for misrepresentation. As a matter of fact, God put a penalty on life. All liars shall have their God will work out your situation. The point I'm making is while I'm doing all of these things for myself, he knows that my heart wants to do right. I'm just in a twist. So what he does, he still loves me. But he lets me tell him like a fish out of water, because he cannot bless me. He cannot push me. It's me that's out there telling him around, because it's all of my own making. Not until I come to that, which is his way and his making. Thank you. We've said this so many things. All things are done that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God is not going to get glory out of the lie, but He is going to get glory out of loving you. Because somewhere down the trail, somewhere down the line, be it in a public altar, be it in a closet, when we realize we're not getting ourselves under that twisted knife, it's like a Chinese, whatever that thing is called, it's on the table. It's getting worse. God will help us in truth. He will let you know when it's not the truth. Let's talk for a moment, not about what you meant to say. Let's talk for a moment about the conscience. The Word of God tells us the conscience will be the accusers of excuses. If you would just listen to people that tell you exactly what's going on in your life, we need to pray for them. I'm not going into a lot of things, but I'm not going to go into it. But in the conscience, God is involved in a program that's called the conscience. You take people that commit crimes. They'll tell you, they'll go to court. They'll tell you they have temporary insanity. It hurt it as a defense. But in reality, as soon as they did it, they ran and hid it. The reason they ran was they knew they were guilty. That conscience accused them of guilt. I've been a donor. So I'm going to go find a dark place. You don't find any of these people breaking windows, burning cop cars. They put a mask over their face, and they hide. And when the policemen are giving the upper hand, they run. Their deeds are evil. They know what they're doing. That's the reason I believe that when you go to Berkeley, you go to Washington, you break those windows, pay for by those tax dollars, you don't get sick of them. If you don't agree with that, don't get mad. You have robbed from somebody. You have robbed from some insurance company by what you've done. Well, we have a right to protest. You have a right to protest, but you don't have the right to break in my house. You don't have the right to harass my children, my grandchildren, my wife. If you want to go march around the flag, then you go right there. But you keep your hands off of that which is mine. You know why? If there was a guy standing out there saying, "Duh, I'm going to break that window, duh. Here I am, I'm the one that broke that window, duh." Now, there's a special place for me. It's a special place. You can't go to town without having that window when you get that one of those places. The conscience. You don't have to be saved to have a conscience. You don't have to be born of God to have a conscience. Unless it's been seared with a hot iron, you've got a conscience. God said, "I know you. You have found favor in my sight. And I know you by name." I'm going to close. Two intercessors in the word of God, Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the Father, one of the intercessors in this church. People in the church, some of you don't know who it is. I'm not sure I know all of them. I do know some of them. They've broken their health by trying to fast with the church. I know some in this church that are intercessors. There are prayers, but there are intercessors. If you don't know what an intercessor is, an intercessor is one that stands in the middle. And the intercessor stands in the middle. God said, "I looked for intercessors and I found none." You may not even know what you're praying about. But God moves in mysterious ways, always his wonders to perform. I've told you 100 times. Much of my life has been spent with God waking me in the night. I would be praying, I don't know what I'm praying about, I don't know who I'm praying for, but I'm praying. You've heard me say innumerable times. When that doesn't happen to me, I get very concerned. I don't want God to look for an intercessor and find me waiting for him. I want him to be able to awaken me. What are you praying about? I don't know. I just know that God will do that. Do you have any idea if it's a sickness or it's this or that? What I felt? Well, I'm giving you an example of the musicians that come to mind. My wife and I, we traveled, of course, as a man of course. Sometimes we were on the phone 3 or 4 weeks out of the day. We stayed at a brother's sister's house on this morning. But there was an experience that I had. When I got different from it, but I don't think of it. I was awakened in life. And all I could hear was these words, "I will restore." I did not know what he will do. But he did know it was coming. "I will restore." I prayed and I prayed and I prayed some more. Finally, God let me know what young people in this church I was praying for. I'm not going to go talk to the lady about this, so I go to the man. And I tell him,
in my experience, is that brother Robert, when she took over from my life, because not her parents, not my parents, not the pastor, not one living human being on this earth, I wouldn't have put this, knows that my wife and I are going to get a divorce. When you throw this in, two Christians can't get a divorce. Not if they're Christians. I'm not saying one that's a backslider, but two Christians cannot get a divorce. He said, it was for the turmoil. I said, I can't do it. You tell me. The sad end of that story is that they were so set in their self-defense that they got a divorce. The baby becomes the product of a divided home. Last time I heard was living in New York, living like that. The man is now dead. I want to explain. I saw the markings at that great statue of the autopsy that was done on his head. If you kill Alex Lackey, of God protecting you and knowing you by name, and having your name graven on his hand, and you being the apple of his eye, and just like his eyes on the sparrow, he watches you. You're headed for heaven. That's not the will of God. That is not the ways of God. It is not the will of God. Husband and wife, if you're having a dispute, you get in that altar, you get it worked out. Hello? I was preaching a combined general council meeting for a branch of the Church of God in Jasper, Alabama. It went there. Well, Rusty Goodman's there in Jasper, Alabama, at the hill of going to that little country church and visiting the Christ Center of my family. I really can't remember the name where the church was. Come look at these issues. The man that was the general superintendent of that fellowship had two artificial legs. I did not know that until one night with a pipe who put something against the wall around the auditorium. It was seated and prayed for the Holy Ghost. You could tell by the Lord that it was difficult. I preached that way. Not knowing a soul, not knowing a preacher, not knowing a church, not knowing a preacher's life, going up to a preacher. On this side of the auditorium, I saw a man and his wife get up from where they were sitting. And together, they started, I knew nothing, they started walking towards the front. And when they got a distance, maybe from here to Spanish or whatever, he started taking the food. He got that wife of his. He got that neck of his fire. We will not get to this. We're going to be in this altar until God heals us. I went back several times after that, and I didn't heal him. He's not willing that you pray. He's not willing that your home be destroyed, that your kids be destroyed. He's God. He knows the family. But let me tell you this in closing. God knows what he has planned for you. Am I right? When you are a child of God, you're a master of him, you can go to the Lord. We cast our doubts. We say, here I am, and you. Let me still walk before you, that you know my name, and I will live unto God. I'm going to preach to you this Sunday morning, when Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. Remember that? How did God answer? I cause all of my goodness to pass before you. God's goodness is God's glory. Amen? I don't know about you, but I believe God's in this house to welcome us, to help us, to assist us, We've got this meeting after a time we're going. But we need to submit ourselves in time that our sins in His care that we work His life. We just go with Him. We just